been talking about a lot of things and surrender and whatever. And, you know, sometimes we need to just go back to the little basics. It's the little things, you know. The little things that create such a... It only takes a little speck of a fire to blow up a whole forest. Amen. And it's those little things that we have to be careful with. And it's called roll it over because we need to start rolling more things over. Amen. And one of the things that we need to start rolling over is it's a simple word, four letters called care. C-A-R-E. Care. Care. You know, we need to start casting our cares, rolling our cares. There are so many unnecessary cares that we carry. And we need to start rolling them over. And I want to share a couple things about care. First of all, the word care comes from a Greek word, Myra Mena, some kind of Greek word. And it means to be drawn in different directions. It's references to like divisions, distractions, worry, anxiety. So when this little word, when this little care comes upon, we have to have the discernment whether this is an unnecessary care or is it a necessary care to be taken care of but not allow it to go any further than that. Cares can lead to other issues in people's lives. And this is where we have to have the discernment. Turn to 1 Peter 4. So we want to roll it over. You know, did you ever have an animal or a dog? You ever notice when the dog rolls over, you just scratch its little tummy, and man, it don't have a care in the world. <You know? laughs> So we need to, you know, we're God's pets too, you know. I mean, you know, come on. I don't mind being his donkey, you know. I mean, praise God.
Amen.
I'll be whatever he wants me to be.
So
there's just some times when you and I just need to roll over and let him scratch our stomach, you know, and not carry about nothing. You know, when you and I were in the world, we'd have all these cares and we'd run to the nearest bar or the nearest dope place or we'd go spend money to try and resolve a care. And we realized it didn't resolve anything. The care got real big. I mean, then it became a burden. And, you know, and there are things that lead from this little word care. And you got to understand, you and I are not fighting flesh and blood. And we'll go to that, of course. So we've got to understand that the devil is the most cunning beast created. So he knows exactly what to do. He knows those little cares that can lead to burdens. All of us have picked up a care. Oh, how many times have somebody picked up an animal and gone, oh man, why did I do that? You know? I remember one time I picked up these little cute little chickens, you know, whatever they were. Come to find out they were ducks. I brought them home to my wife. Hey, look, you know. And these things grew big. And they fertilized my lawn a real lot. And there was nothing but these eggs all over the place. I mean, I had to go out and buy a little baby pool and keep the water running all the time because I took on this care that became a burden, man. You know, but I couldn't get rid of them because I didn't know how to fight this, that. And man, next thing I knew, I was like, oh, man, I was serving these ducks. You know? So it was a little care that became a big burden. But praise God. They ended up dying anyways. But hallelujah. No, I didn't eat them. I thought about eating the... You know what? They used to follow my dog to the mailbox. My dog would go to the mailbox and these two little ducks would follow. They loved my dog, an 80-pound Doberman dog. They were friends. Blew my mind. I'd look out the front door. There they go. There goes my wife, the dog, and the two ducks. Hallelujah. What a burden. 1 Peter chapter 4. Hallelujah. And verse 12. Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. Hallelujah. But rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy. Hallelujah. I don't know if taking care of those ducks was part of Christ's sufferings, but maybe that's how he feels towards us sometimes. Who knows? No, he doesn't think we're a burden, though. Hallelujah. In verse 14, if you are reproached for the name of Christ, blessed are you, for the Spirit of glory and of God rests upon you. On their part, he is blasphemed. On your part, he is glorified. Glory. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we pick up so many cares that we become a busybody. There are people looking for cares. How can I get in that and pull a care out? And then become a burden. Verse 16. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this matter. For the time has come for judgment to begin at the house of God. And if it begins with us first, what will be the end of those who do not obey the gospel of God? Now, we got to understand something. If judgment is in the house of God, do you think that the devil knows that judgment's in the house of God? Amen. So do you think that maybe he would like to bring cares on you, that bring burdens, and move you out of position so that judgment can come on you? Amen. That's his job. God is cleaning his church up. He is preparing for his return. And you and I got to get rid of some of these cares. And we have to be prepared. The other morning in prayer, the Lord said to me, darkness is going to cover the earth. I said, whoa. In other words, I'm releasing more so that your light will shine. Does everybody get it? I'm releasing more so that your light will shine. It is not going to get easier out there. It's going to get harder. Much harder. In our class at jail, within the last 3 or 4 months, I've seen more guys return than I ever have seen. Sometimes I look out in the class, and I see a quarter of them that have been in the class. And a quarter of them have been here. But thank God they've been rescued. Amen. You know, they've been rescued. And you got to understand something. People will begin to speak against something that they don't understand. And they begin to speak against something that they couldn't submit to. So you tell by fruits. Always judge by fruits. Amen. So we see here that judgment is beginning in the house of God. So you and I have to have the discernment. We know that trials and tribulations, we know that you and I are going to go through stuff. That's a part of our learning. How else is Christ going to be magnified? Unless we go, how else are we going to know who Christ is in us unless we go through stuff? Amen? Because then we'll continue to rely on our own strength. But we must be careful not to be a busybody and try and pick up other cares that are not necessary. They are unneeded cares. And we must have this discernment. Now, go to Matthew 13. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Praise you. In Matthew 13, can everybody hear me? Go ahead, God. In verse 19. Oh, thank you, for the joy of the Lord is my strength. Is everybody at 19? Let's read this together. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. Now, who comes and snatches it? In other words, you can't blame your friends. You can't blame your job. You can't blame nobody. Hello? Yeah. You remember Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it? The devil didn't make him do it. He let the devil lead him. That was it. So we see that the wicked one comes and steals, doesn't he? Let's go on. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. Verse 20. But he who received the seed on stony places, this one is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. In other words, when you don't get what you want, that's it. I ain't following God no more. You know why? Lack of fellowship in the Spirit, because you're not rooted. Not rooted. There are people that can memorize the Bible and not be rooted. Because only the Spirit roots you. Only the Spirit roots you. Okay? Let's go on. Verse 21. Yet, he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Verse 22, I'm sorry. Now, he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So let me share something with you. By taking on unnecessary cares, you'll find yourself become unfruitful. Because you're picking up burdens you need not to. And every time you pick up something, removes you, causes you to miss God. Does everybody get it? You know, you got to understand it. And is you got to listen, we're all here because God is preparing ministers. That's what it's about. We're not just teaching things just to comfort you for a day. These are things that you need to carry while you're on this planet.
Amen.
Okay? That's what it's about. You're in Holy Ghost Boot Camp, Officers Training School.
Amen.
And we're never out of it.
Amen.
It never stops. I'm in Holy Ghost Boot Camp with you, man. Officers Training School. It doesn't stop.
No.
Amen? So you got to understand that all of us are being prepared for another position or whatever else is available that God wants us to do. And Paul said, I became all things that all could be saved. So you don't know what God will have you do at a certain time.
Amen.
Amen? Amen. So we are being taught these things so that we can carry them. We must have the discernment to know. The Bible says that the Spirit tells us the things to come. Now, relationship in the Spirit, knowing the Word, how are we going to know what's to come? See, you got to have the discernment knowing what this care is. Is this care I'm supposed to pick up from God or not? How many times have you gone down the street and you've seen people beg? Amen? And you got to have the discernment. Lord, what am I supposed to do with this one? What am I supposed to do? See, because the next thing you know, you could take someone that you weren't supposed to and you got a burden. You got a burden. Amen? And it leads to trouble. Next thing you know, you're in distress. You're trying to get out of it. It's like, man, Lord, what do I do? And then the devil's beating you up because he's nailing you in the soulish realm of emotion. And as you go out and minister, you cannot get caught up in that. You can't, let me tell you, the world would like to bring their cares to you. Believe me. And my soulish one would like to take care of everybody in the world. I want to take every child, tell them the truth. Every orphan, every foster child, I want to bring him into the house of God. And it hurts me that I can't. But I'm not supposed to pick up all those cares. Or I'd never get what God wanted me to do. So the devil want to bring distraction, doesn't he? And he brings distraction by causing you to pick up a little care. And now let me share something with you. Hallelujah. We got to understand, first of all, the devil is the one that steals the seed, right? So we're not fighting flesh and blood according to Ephesians 6:10, so let's go there. I'm going to back it up with the word. I see a lot of light bulbs going off. Some of us are reflecting on some of the cares that we picked up that became burdens. Ephesians 6:10, to God be the glory. Let's read this together. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might, not your own. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Let me share something with you. Wiles means trickery. He is the most cunning beast created. We lose sight that we're not fighting some dummy. You are fighting a genius. He was the highest ranking angel. He was the praise and worship leader of the universe. He ruled the earth, and he was involved in the mountain of God. He's no dummy. He runs the most unique army. But we're involved in a stronger one.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we must understand that these little cares will be imparted by the devil. And you must have discernment whether they are from him or from God. Unnecessary cares will lead to certain things. Watch what it'll lead to. They lead to worry. That little care that was like, oh, all of a sudden went to, oh. They lead to worry. They lead to fear. And this may sound strange, but they'll lead to pride.
What?
They lead to pride. Cares lead to worry. Worry leads to fear, and fear leads to pride. Because what happens is when somebody gets so fearful, they begin to take on things in their own strength. When you try and give them counsel, no. I know what I'm doing. It's called pride. P-R-I-D-E. Personal reverence into deadly end. That's how Lucifer got thrown out of the throne room of God. Ay, 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 ay. Next thing he knew, he was hitting dirt.
Amen.
I'll do this. I'll do that. Religion is involved in two strong men. Fear and pride. They're afraid somebody might find out that they're prideful. Amen? So these things, a care will lead to a worry will lead to fear, a fear can lead to pride. No, I don't need any help. All right. Yeah, all right. Right. I can tell your fruit you're all right. There isn't any. Tells me you're not all right. Luke 21. See, the devil will do another thing. He'll create selfish cares also. Oh, he's the master of it. Luke 21. Selfish cares. Woo-hoo. And I never realized that a little care could lead to so much. Until you begin to reflect and you begin to see the things that we've done and how they've related to so many things that have caused us, our own self, to stumble, our own self to be distracted. And the devil's known as the master of deception, isn't he? And his purpose is to distract you so you can get out of focus, go down another path that removed you from the perfect will of God. His purpose is to distract you and I so that we miss God. Amen? And that's why you and I must always go to the Lord, giving Him our heart, and asking Him, Lord, is this You? Because see, not all the time is it going to feel like it's God's will when it is. So everybody get it? Because you can't go by feeling or you'll be led astray. So sometimes it's like, man, I don't know if this is You, Lord. And you have to go bring it to Him. Sometimes you've got to have to tell Him, Lord, shut this door if it's not of You, and open it if it is. But He'll give you confirmation. Because He does not want us to fall into the trap, does He? In Luke 21, in verse 29. Hallelujah. And Jesus spoke and He said to them a parable. He said, look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is now near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and what? Cares of this life. And that day come on you unexpectedly. In other words, you've been distracted. Amen? For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of God. And He's talking about tribulation and things to that degree. So we must be careful that we do not fall into the snare of unnecessary cares. You know, when people first come in, you know, I deal with the jail a lot because I'm there a lot, so I see a lot of things happen there in the discipleship house. When people first come in, and even when sometimes when people first come into a fellowship, they have cares. Amen? Everybody has cares. And there's a difference between cares and needs. All your needs are met. Sometimes your cares are coming. But sometimes these cares that we don't need to have, they are unnecessary cares. Amen? In other words, when people come in, they have things that they need to... They have fines that they need to pay at the courts, this, that. And those are cares. That's cool. But don't let that care become a burden. Amen. That's where you need to roll that care over. You need to roll that care over. Because if Jesus is your Lord and your Savior, the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I will not lack. In other words, you won't want. Amen. He will make a way. He'll rescue you from everything as long as you're doing the things He's asking you to do. If you're in His perfect will, the devil can't touch you. Amen. Only if you let Him. Right. Amen. Amen? He can't touch you. So, I mean, when we first come to the Lord, we do, okay, God, all right, that's it, man. All these promises are made. I can't do them. All right, well then, let's see here. Lord, I'm going to start over. I'm going to... Let go and let God. Oh, did that feel better? 45 minutes later, what happened to letting go and letting God? It's like, okay, God, I let go of You. No, and I'll take back that care. So... We got to constantly roll things. The devil's always going to put something across your path. His purpose is to tempt you with these cares. Amen. Cares can develop into desires and so forth, but there are unnecessary cares. Oh Lord, how am I gonna get gas for my car? I mean, give him a break. He created the gas. You know? Oh, how am I gonna, man, roll it over and roll over. And let him scratch your tummy. Amen. Hallelujah. So cares create misses of God. An unnecessary care will cause you to miss God. Does everybody get that? Let's go to Luke 14 while we're in Luke. Hallelujah. And in verse 26, is everybody there? Can we read this together, please? Verse 26 and 27. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's pretty simple. In other words, listen, you know all those cares you have about that family? If they're unnecessary cares. If they are unnecessary cares. Now the Lord, of course, wants us to respond to our family, doesn't he? He wants us to be examples. He wants us to be support to them. He wants us to be a witness to them. But there's a place where you and I must be careful. Because nothing can get between you and your daddy. Not even your family.
Amen.
You must look at your family as a gift from God. You know, we get a lot of people and whatever, you know, especially in jail. Well, okay, they get in jail, now they want to call home. And they want to call collect every night. But while they were out there, they didn't want to have nothing to do with them. Because they were fulfilling their own desires. Amen? And now they want to bring a big bill. I used to tell the guys in jail, man, give your family a break. Write them. Quick bill. I mean, they've been paying all of the bills while you were out there. And now you're in jail and you're going to build up more bills? Give them a break. Write them and show them respect. And take your responsibility. Because what we did was we picked up unnecessary cares. Amen. And they turned into burdens and ungodly desires and you name it. Hallelujah. In verse 27. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Wow. You cannot go after him if you have unnecessary cares. It's too difficult. You know how many people get themselves in debt and can't serve God and they got a heart to serve God? And they can't because they're so busy. They picked up unnecessary cares, unnecessary finances, unnecessary things that have come into their life, and now their care is a big burden because of financial bondage. Amen? And we must be careful of these little cares. We're not to be a part of that, because see, that's a part of the world, isn't it? People want to be like the Joneses, you know, or the Smiths, or whatever they are. So we cannot allow ourselves to be sucked up into the cares of the world because the Word of God will be choked in you. And believe me, the one that has his hand around your neck is not your neighbor, your wife, your husband, or your boss. He's a devil.
Amen.
And he's out to kill us. And that's his job.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Chronicles 21. Hallelujah. Now, don't get me wrong. There are things that we need to take care of, isn't there? We have responsibilities to do. Those are necessary cares. They are responsibilities that you and I must do. As for doing things with our family, we must show up at work. You can't just say, well, I don't have a care anymore. I ain't going to work. No, no worky, no eaty. Amen? That's biblical. No sowy, no whippy. Hallelujah. So we do have necessary cares. Or nothing would get done. We all be sitting around going, well, I don't care. Well, I don't care. But that's not what it is. We must have godly cares. Amen. Hallelujah. And 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verse 1. Read this with me for a second, please. Is everybody there? 1 through 3. Now Satan stood up against Israel and moved David to number Israel. Now I want you to understand something. Satan sucked David in and gave him a care he didn't need to have. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. 1 Chronicles 21, verse 1. Satan sucked David in and gave him an unnecessary care. Does everybody get it? Watch this. Verse 2. So David said to Joab and to the leaders of the people, go number Israel from Beersheba to Dan and bring the number of them to me that I may know it. And Joab answered, may the Lord make his people 100 times more than they are. But my lord, the king, are they not all my lord's servants? Why then does my lord require this thing? Why should he be a cause of guilt in Israel? Well, even Joab was wise. He said, listen, man, don't you get it? We don't need to be doing this. This is an unnecessary care, King David. Go to verse 7. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he struck Israel. Whoa. Because David went out and did a census. So David said to God, I have sinned greatly because I have done this thing. But now I pray, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. He repented, didn't he? But you know what? Repentance does not remove reaping. Does everybody get it? Repentance does not remove reaping. It removes death. Then the Lord spoke to David, seer, saying, go tell David, saying, thus says the Lord, I offer you three things. Choose one of them for yourself, that I may do it to you. The Lord said, hey, man, you're going to reap. I love you. I know you're after me, and I respect it, so I'm not going to kill you. But you disobeyed me. You did something. You took on a care that was unnecessary. And brought a stumbling block to your people. And verse 11. So Gad came to David and said to him, thus says the Lord, choose for yourself either 3 years of famine or 3 months to be defeated by your foes with the sword of your enemies overtaking you, or else for 3 days the sword of the Lord. The plague in the land, with the angel of the Lord destroying throughout all the territory of Israel. Now consider what answer I should take back to him who sent me. And David said to Gad, I am in great distress. I bet there wasn't too many good choices. I mean, you know, can I take dorm number 4? David said, man, I'm in distress. Please let me fall into the hand of the Lord, for his mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hand of a man. Praise be to God. That was wisdom. So the Lord sent a plague upon Israel, and 70,000 men of Israel fell. And God sent an angel to Jerusalem to destroy it. As he was destroying, the Lord looked and relented of the disaster, and said to the angel who was destroying, it is enough. Now restrain your hand. And the angel of the Lord stood by the threshing floor of the of Ornan the Jebusite. So we see here that David still had to reap. But you know what happens? Let me share something. When you take unnecessary cares, others suffer. Others suffer. Our families suffer. Others suffer. The children suffer. Whatever it may be, others suffer. Your job suffers. Whatever it is, whatever you're connected with, others suffer by taking an unnecessary care. Amen? And who brought it? Satan. Sucked David right in. Let me share something. One of the things the devil wants you to do is to get you in his ring. In the boxing ring. You know, you can't fight what you can't see. Hallelujah. The devil can get you in his ring. You're on his turf. Now, there's a difference between God sending you on his turf and him sucking you on his turf. Because you won't win. Does everybody get it? You have to be rescued. But if the Lord sends you on his turf, you already have victory. There's a difference. That's why many people come out and say, yeah, my best friend, man, he's still using it. I'm going to go down to that crack house, or I'm going down to this girl's house, and I'm going to rescue him. The dude ends up staying there 3 days. What he thought was from God was an unnecessary care. When he was sucked in by the devil, he bit the bait, and he lost. And then God has to rescue him all over again. But the problem is all the things, all the people that were hurt again. Amen? Other people suffer by taking unnecessary cares. Hallelujah. Let's go to Matthew 10. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Praise God. And verse 5. Let's read this together. I love this. Hey. Unnecessary care. These 12. Let's read it. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter the city of the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Wow, that was pretty simple, wasn't it? I said, listen, man. Go do it. Go do it. They didn't have to do anything. I mean, they just followed Jesus, didn't they? There was no prerequisition. I mean, you know, no requirements. It was like, okay, Lord, you said it, I'll do it. They didn't have to go to Bible college. None of them did. Amen? They didn't even have to be ordained by a man. Whoa. They were just told by Jesus to go. In verse 9. Now, I want you... Okay, let's go there first. He says what? Provide neither gold nor silver nor copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staff, for a worker is worthy of his food. Now, he said, listen, you don't need to bring anything. In other words, you don't need any cares. Because cares will prevent you from doing what I'm asking you to do. Unnecessary cares will prevent you from doing what I'm sending you to do. In verse 10, or in verse 11, now, whatever city or town you enter, Inquire who is in it, is worthy, and stay there till you go out. And when you go into the house, greet it. Now listen, look at what he said. He says, listen, you don't need to have a care about money. I'll provide all your needs according to riches and glory. Amen. You don't need to be concerned about clothes. My children won't beg. The only reason my children of God beg is because they're out of His will. Amen. And you won't have to worry about food or shelter. Cash, clothes, food, and shelter, He'll provide it all. As long as you're in His will. Amen. Simple, isn't it? Yes. And all the guys that are in the discipleship, you know how God is supplying? Cash, food, clothes, and shelter. Because you're in His will. Amen. He's saying, listen, this is what I'm calling you to do. You don't have to have these cares. Unnecessary cares. I will supply everything for you. He'll bring it across your path. Now, they didn't grumble and complain, did they? They didn't say, you go first. And if it works for you, I'll go. You didn't hear about any of them sneaking any cash with them?
No.
Or UPSing something ahead?
Hallelujah.
They went. You know why? Because they were with Jesus and they trusted Him. Amen. And if you'll take time with Him in the Spirit, you'll trust Him.
Amen.
And when He tells you to go, you won't have no concern or care.
Amen.
You'll know that you're being sent by Him. Amen? Hallelujah. Some people make a big issue out of a little care. A big issue out of a little care. Do you ever talk to people that, man, they're like, you know, the neighbor ran out of gas. We need to do this. We need to do that. I'm like, be quiet. Relax. They're not going anywhere. Yeah, but they make such big issues out of little cares, little things. They exaggerate, they blow them up. It's ridiculous. They bring themselves in a frenzy, and they bring everybody else that they're around in a frenzy too. Just a little care. Such a little issue becomes such a big... It's like taking a balloon and going... And it's like, oh, man! When it's such a simple little thing. You know what? When that comes, if we'll just roll that over. Roll it over. Okay, Daddy. See, they're all going crazy out there. And you're going, okay, Dad. They'll be coming up to you and go, man, what's the matter with you? Don't you care? Don't you have any feelings or emotions?
Oh, man.
Tell them no. You're dead. Hallelujah. I'm not going to let that little care become a big issue and a stumbling block to me and those who are around me. I'm going to roll it over and let Daddy scratch my tummy. Amen?
Amen.
Man, that dog falls asleep real quick when you scratch his tummy.
Amen.
How are you going to get some rest?
Amen.
Do you understand that the world right now is in a frenzy?
Mm-hmm.
This country is in a frenzy. You and I cannot get sucked into these ridiculous cares of vengeance, hatred, fear. You and I must walk in the peace of God and be the example of such a calmness that they want what we have.
Hallelujah.
This is prime time, I'm telling you. It's ripe out there, man. People are making choices. Not all of them are good, but some of them are good. They're heading the right way. Amen. To God be the glory. Let's go to Luke 12. So let's not make big issues out of a little care. Amen?
Amen.
You know, I get beeped. My beeper goes off at all times of the night. And sometimes I get sucked into answering it that late at night. And I go, oh, why did I do this? You know? Especially when if I'm woken up or something, or I'm really stupid. Unless I'm woken up by the Lord, then I'm brisk and ready to go. And then, you know, I'll get a call, and it's like, there'll just be this woman on the other end all frantic. Well, what's the matter? Well, my boyfriend's in jail. Well, what's he? Well, he's been using drugs. Well, praise God, he's alive in jail. Good night. Don't bail him out. Whatever you do, don't bail him out. You know, and she's in a frenzy. It's like, huh? Relax. I mean, would you really have him out on the street still dealing and whatever and using and stealing? And would you rather have him in jail right now? Okay. But do you understand a little care? And the whole thing is they've probably been praying that he get arrested anyways. So when God finally answers their prayer, they go into frenzy. Hallelujah. Verse 29. All praise God. Let's read this together, please. This is just an extension of what we were talking about. Verse 29 in chapter 12. Do not seek what you should eat or what you should drink, nor have an anxious mind. Wow. Do you ever notice people have an anxious mind? Man, they have so many cares or so many issues that they can't even hear what you're trying to share with them. Everything is so blown up, it's ridiculous. Do not have an anxious mind. Go to verse 30. For all these things the nations of the world seek after. Wow. In other words, he's saying to us, these unnecessary cares are worldly. They're worldly. And your Father knows that you need these things. So he already knows what you and I need. You know, everybody runs to, you know, when they hear about something happen, everybody runs to the stores and empties out everything. You know, oh, hurricane. I mean, it's not even in, you know, it's on the other side of the globe, you know. Everybody runs, you know, people, because what are they're taking this little care, making a huge issue. And I truly believe that a lot of the stuff that you and I hear is nothing but a money marketing. And whoever, whatever firm it is making big bucks. And making issues, big issues out of a little thing. Amen? And that can happen anywhere. In your life, with your children at school, whatever it is. You've got to stay in the Spirit so that you know. That you know how big this care is. What you're to do with it. Whether it's a false issue or whether it's just a care and a concern. Amen? Go to Luke 10. No. Go to 1 Corinthians. Nowhere. Let's keep reading. Hallelujah. Let's go to verse 31. How could I miss that? Let's read this, please, everybody together. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you. Hallelujah. That's all you need to do is go to Daddy. And he'll do exceedingly abundantly, far above all you could ever ask or think. He'll position you, free you, and take those anxieties away, that anxious mind, those issues that have been blown up so big that are nothing but little wimpy cares. Just keep rolling it over. Roll it over. Roll it over. And roll over. Amen? 1 Corinthians 7. Praise God, I can see us all week long going, man, okay, I know this little care. Is this going to turn into a burden? All right, Lord, what do you want me to do with this thing? But do you understand that's where God wants us to be? That's where he wants us to be. We can get so busy we don't hear. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Oh, this was good. In verse 29. Now, well, I'll explain this later. Let's read this together. I'm not going to be the only one to read it. Are you bound to a wife? Oh, I see how everybody deserted me. Oh. Well, I'm, praise God. All right, let's go to 29. Well, let's go to 27. Praise God. Hey, if we can have fun at Bible study, let's not have it. Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be loosed. Are you loose from a wife? Do not seek a wife. Hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Tim, 1 Corinthians
7. You better write that in your bedroom wall. In verse 20. Verse 28. Come on, we're getting to a real good point here. But even if you do marry, you have not sinned. Praise God.
Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Rescued. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. Nevertheless, such will have trouble in the flesh, but I would spare you. Okay, we're going now. You ready now? Okay. But this I say, brethren, the time is short. Does everybody get it? Is time short now?
Yeah.
Amen. All right. So that from now on, even those who have wives should be as though they have
none.
Wow. I read this to my wife today. She said, what are you going to do? She said to me, you need me. Who's going to buy your deodorant? I said, babe, I don't need you. I want you. Verse 30. Those who weep as though they do not weep. Those who rejoice as though they do not rejoice. Those who buy as though they do not possess. And those who use this world as not misusing it. For the form of this world is passing away. Now, let's go to one more. 32. But I want you to be without care. Does everybody get that? Yeah. I want you to be without a care. In other words, he wants us to be without cares of this world and entanglements. He who is unmarried cares for the things of the Lord, how he may please the Lord. But he who is married cares about the things of the world, how he may please his wife. Now, listen. It doesn't mean that it's ungodly or unnecessary care. What he's saying is, you know, being married is another ministry. And God has got to give you, he's got to ordain it. That's why he said, do not be unevenly yoked. Because, man, let me tell you something. You're unevenly yoked, there's your ministry for a long time. You won't be able to serve God. It's too difficult. You know, you'd be so busy trying to handle this little care that became a big issue. And now a burden. Until God moves over and takes it over. Amen. But there's got to be a participation of both individuals. So what he's saying, listen, what you and I need to do is be concerned that time is short. We need to be concerned that the time is short. You know, if you truly believe the word, let me share something with you. Time is shorter than you realize. Time is shorter than you realize. You know, if we have 7 years left, if we have 10 years left, praise God. Well, most likely, we don't. You know, I'm not putting it away for no retirement fund.
Amen.
My retirement fund is up there.
Amen.
Everything we get goes to the kingdom. So we can't get so entangled in the little cares that become big issues. Amen? We got to allow God to build the house. You know, there's a lot of cares. Okay, now I'm clean. I'm cool. All right, now I got the Lord. All right, I pray in tongues. All right, I do this. All right, I can praise the Lord. Okay, now where's the woman? Hello? That little care becomes a big issue. Amen. Next thing you know, you're going to every function looking for a woman and not even seeking God anymore.
Amen.
Yeah, I think I'll go to this outreach. Yeah. But you know in your heart that you're going after a woman instead of the Lord.
Amen.
Getting sucked in. Next thing you'll be doing a census yourself. Let's see, she's all right. And
she didn't say Jesus.
Hello?
Amen.
And that goes for the women, too.
Well,
hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. We only have one that's unmarried. Praise God you're not old enough.
Don't go there.
Hallelujah. Okay. Let's go to Luke 10. Let's get out of here quickly.
Back.
I'd get in trouble if I removed this from the word, so.
Yeah, right.
Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah, I got this email from this girl.
Ooh.
Oh, really? Yeah, I'm just chatting with her on email.
Ooh,
you're hunting, don't tell me. You're hunting.
Oh, man.
You're taking a census. And that little care has become a burden.
Ouch.
Yeah, well, it just came in. Well, how did you get your email, man?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Light always reveals darkness.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. In Luke 10:38. Man, I feel a heat coming from back there. Something's cooking. Something's cooking. Yeah, I smell flesh. You smell the flesh cooking? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. That's right. Now, let's go to Luke 10 and verse 38. Now listen, you know, don't get me wrong. Marriage is a wonderful thing.
Amen.
If it's led by God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. If it's led by God. You don't need to hunt.
Amen.
God brings it. He put it across your path. Let the Lord build the house. You labor in vain. You're in trouble.
Amen.
You'd be spending the rest of your time trying to fix your marriage and never serve God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Okay. In verse 38. Now it happens they went that they entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him, Jesus, into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted. Sounds like she had a care that became an issue and a burden. Martha was distracted with much what?
Serving.
And she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care? Wow, can you imagine approaching God saying, listen, don't you care?
She rebuked him. Wow.
He said, Martha, you're so full of care. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. You know, this reminds me of a lot of prayers I hear. Lord, would you tell my husband or would you tell my wife? To do this. Oh, Lord, how about, Lord, rescue that person and your will be done.
Yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Take authority. Bind. Loose. Cast out. Plead the blood. Do what you got to do. Amen. We don't need to tell God what he needs to do for somebody else. Amen. The Lord knows. Now we're to do our spiritual warfare and take dominion. Because intercession is positioning. So God can do the work. Amen. Okay, let's go on. In verse 41. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha. Like, woe is me, Martha. You are worried and troubled about what? Many things. Martha, you've taken on so many cares, sweetheart, that you've lost one big one. And he said in verse 42, but one thing is needed. In other words, one thing is required, Martha. And Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. And that was what? To listen at his feet. When Martha was busy in the kitchen, making woe is me pies. Amen? She was making woe is me pies and trying to get the Lord to do something for her. Well, you know what? She got so woe is me and took on this little care that became a burden that it was actually trying to move somebody else out of position. Does everybody get it? Because when you take on burdens and cares that you shouldn't, it affects not only you but others around you. So we have to be wise, don't we? Go to Philippians. Philippians 4. Glory to God. Philippians chapter 4. We may have to change the heading of this teaching to the joy of the Lord. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Let's read this together, please. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So he's saying, listen, don't let these little cares become burdens. Roll it over. Don't be anxious for nothing. Roll it over. How? You seek the kingdom of God. You go to your daddy and you roll it over. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5. Roll it over and roll over. Hallelujah. In 1 Peter 5, in verse 5, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your, what? Elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Or he gives what? Favor to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. So it's coming. Does everybody get it? It's coming. Just don't get sucked in the cares of this world. What does he say in verse 7? Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. He didn't say cast what you can. He said cast them all. Well, this is just a little one. Cast it. Well, this one here I really think I need to take care of. Cast it. But if I don't take care of it, who will? Oh, since when what you do can be better than God? Cast it all. Then he'll return it to you and tell you what to do. Does everybody get it? I'd rather give it to him first and then have him bring it back to me what I'm supposed to do. Amen. Than try and take care of it myself. Because then, you know who gets exalted? You. Self. Amen? Come on. What's the next? Verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Who's he trying to devour, me and you? First of all, it starts off with a little care, an unnecessary care. And he sucks you right in. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Settle you in what? In the truth and in him. Settle you. So the next time all these things keep coming across your path, you're not going to go, whoa, and roll over. Amen. Let's go to Matthew 11. Glory to God. Matthew 11, 28. Glory to God. Let's read this together. Matthew 28. You know, sometimes it finally takes that we are so heavy burdened that we finally go to him. See, because of his deceptive ways and his slyness, the devil puts little cares that build up to a heavy burden, and we don't even realize it sometimes. And the Lord says in 28, come to me, all you who what? Labor and are heavy laden. And I will give you rest. Wow, rest from what? All of these cares. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Wow, my burden is light. You know, what you and I do today, what we do today, okay, brings us to tomorrow. What we don't do today awaits us tomorrow. Does everybody get it? So what you and I do today, according to the will of God, brings us into tomorrow. But what we don't do today awaits us tomorrow. Does everybody understand that? In other words, what awaits you maybe something not so pleasant because the things that we did not do. One of the things is casting our cares. Because the next thing you know, that burden's awaiting you tomorrow. People who are undisciplined, what they didn't do today, because the Bible says deny yourself daily, what they didn't deny today will await them tomorrow. Does everybody get it? What you do today brings you into tomorrow. I'd rather be brought into tomorrow than have something wait for me awaiting me tomorrow. Does everybody get it? So we need to continue to cast these cares over. You know, the Bible says joy comes in the morning, but joy don't come in the morning unless you've made amends and straightened it out that night. People are going to bed with all these concerns and whatever, and they're waking up to them the next morning and going, man, why isn't joy in the morning? Because you haven't given it up yet. Amen? Hallelujah. Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy 1. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
1 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, sorry. Glory to God. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6 and 7, to God be the glory. Let's read this together. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Hallelujah. We don't want these cares to lead to fears, do we? Because God has already given us love, power, and a sound mind. We cannot neglect what we have. But the first thing we need to do is stir it up, don't we? We need to stir up so we can get it. So many people just get this little, this care that becomes a burden, and they're not seeking God and then stirring up the Spirit of God in them. You and I must stir up ourselves. Amen?
Amen.
Let's end it with Romans 14. Hallelujah. Cast all your cares on Jesus. You know, I hear, sometimes it's like, I hear people, man, you know, I don't want to cast all those cares on the Lord. He's busy enough. I'm like, what? You foolish flesh creature. Cast all, oh man, I don't want to burden the Lord with those things. I should take care of that. Wait a minute. You don't want to burden the Lord with those things. Praise God, He wants to be burdened with those things. That's a lousy fellowship, man. In Romans 14. That's called pride.
Yes.
Right.
Personal reverence into a deadly end. Romans 14 and verse 16 and 17. Let's read it together and end with this. Therefore, do not let your good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Praise God, and we don't want to lose it. We want the peace of the Lord, the righteousness of the Lord. We want the mind of Christ, the power of Christ, and the will of Christ to be manifest in us and not be sucked out by some little wimpy care that's come into a burden. Amen? So let's use discernment, and let's keep our ears and eyes and heart open to know and have the discernment of these cares. Amen? So we can cast them onto the Lord, and don't worry about it. You can cast them all onto the Lord. He can hold them all. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for your word.
Yes.
And we ask you to give us the strength to cast all of our cares on you, Lord. Because our hope is in you and our strength is in you, Lord. We're nothing without you. Let your presence be manifest in each and every one in this house. Let your glory flow through. And give us the boldness to speak your word and be about your business, being led by your Spirit and not by our own strength, but yours. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus on these seeds. I rebuke the powers of darkness that would try and steal them. And let us carry this seed to those that are in need, that they can become one with you and in rest in you and trust in you. In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
And everybody said,
Amen.
Amen and hallelujah.
Amen.